This is the January 21st meeting of the Pacifica National Board Governance Committee. I'm George Ryder. I'm the chair. I'm going to call the roll. Sharam Agamir. Lydia Brazan.
Here.
Mal Bernstein. Vanessa Dixon-Briggs.
Here.
Nancy Henschel. Bob Lederer.
Here.
Pat Logan.
Here.
Tony Norman.
Present.
Myself. Lawrence Reyes.
Yes. Reyes. Yeah.
Manisha Saba. John Wanger. Jane Zara.
Here.
Okay, that's eight. We have a quorum. The agenda is on kpftx.org. There's, besides the minutes, there's three items on it. One is the motion that we postponed to this meeting by Lydia, which says that 48 hours prior to a telephonic meeting, the chairperson, any two officers of the foundation, or any three directors of the foundation, may add an item to the draft agenda and copy the full board. Another is from Bob, consideration of norms for disclosure of information from closed meetings. And a third is consideration of process used to suspend PD search committee at KPFK, which was Lawrence. Are there any other suggestions for the agenda? Okay, hearing none.
This is Lydia.
Yeah.
Hi, it's Mal.
Mal, welcome. Lydia, go ahead.
Yeah, some discussion. I don't have the motion handy of PMB committees. The membership of PMB committees from your motion from 2011.
Okay, so we'll put that on after Lawrence's?
Yeah, it could be toward the end because I have to get home and look for it.
Okay. For those who are wondering what we're talking about, year before this, the PMB passed a motion, which I made, actually, which said that there could be as many as two, no more than two, members, PMB members from each station on the committees, and that's the motion that Lydia is talking about. The bylaws actually say there shall be at least one. Doesn't really limit the number. The first item is approval of the minutes. I sent them out a few minutes before 7:30 from last month. Is there any objection to approving the minutes from the December 5th meeting?
George, can I take a look at them before?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
You want to do that right now?
Yeah, I don't have them. I have a motion from Bob Lederer that just came in recently, but I don't have the minutes.
It was sent out around 7:25 my time, which would be 5:25 your time.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry, a little earlier than that. It was more like 7:10, something like that, so about 5:10 your time.
Okay, I don't see them.
George, this is Bob. I didn't get it either.
You didn't get it either. It was sent to GovList.
Yeah.
Well, you know what happened? I probably sent it from the wrong email, and it probably bounced. Did anybody get it? Hearing none, I assume that's no one got it. I will send it again, and let's postpone consideration of the minutes until later on in the meeting sometime, or maybe perhaps next meeting.
George, this is Bob.
Yes.
I just realized we haven't set our next meeting date, so should we add that to the agenda?
Yes. Yes, we can do that. Probably, where do you want to put it?
Well, maybe we should do it first so that we don't run out of time.
Okay. And
George, one more item. This is Lydia. Maybe we should review the membership on the committee so that everyone can go back and make sure their LSBs elect members, because the newer folks might not know what that timeline looks like and what we do in the, you know, if they haven't elected, etc.
What is it you want to do today?
Well, today is just to go over the process for everyone on the call, because we have some newer members who may not be familiar with what that timeline looks like, so that the next committees can start on time and so forth.
Okay, when do you want? Where do you want to put that?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not, again, still driving. I'll defer to your judgment.
Okay, let's put it right after the this. That's just an announcement. So,
yeah,
put it right after setting the date for the next meeting.
Okay, sounds good.
And I did send out the minutes on December 6th, or maybe even December 5th as well, but I'm not sure what time. If there's no objection, we'll postpone approving the minutes until the next meeting.
Okay.
And I don't think anything hinges on it, actually. So then the first item on the agenda would be to set the date for the next meeting, which would... The regular date would be the first Tuesday of the next month, but then we're sort of close to that already. Bob, did you have another suggestion?
Well, I would like to switch to a different day of the week. Depending on which week in the month, it could be any other day, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. Well, I know Thursday is often a PNB, so probably that's not a good idea, but Monday or Wednesday.
I have the next government meeting on the 10th. I don't know if that is a mistake or what.
Well, the PNB happens to be meeting that day, so it's not going to work, even if.
Yeah, I didn't post it. If it is, let me look at the KPFTX calendar and see what's happening.
This is Lydia.
Yeah.
I don't propose changing anything until we get a new membership in terms of our permanent date, because we don't know what this. There are quite a few new folks on this PNB, and so we don't know if they're going to keep to Thursdays.
Yes. I'm inclined in that direction, too. Anyone else want to speak to it?
This is Bob.
Yeah, Bob, yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I wasn't being clear. I'm not proposing that we set the permanent monthly date. I was really proposing that we set the February date, and I'm not available on Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
Okay. What date would you suggest, Bob?
Well,
give us a couple of options.
Okay, sure. We could try Monday the 17th. Let's see. I see that the KPFK LSB is meeting on Wednesday the 19th, so maybe an alternative.
And KPFK governance meets on the 17th, too, Bob.
Oh, really?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, how about Monday the 24th or Wednesday the 26th?
Monday the 24th is okay.
It's fine.
Any objections to Monday the 24th?
This is John Winger. I prefer that Wednesday over that Monday. But I can live with the Monday, but my preference would be, of the two, would be the Wednesday.
The 26th is also open. Any objection to the 26th?
As long as our LSB's not meeting, no. We meet, is that the third or the fourth Wednesday?
It'd be the fourth Wednesday.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't meet then.
Okay.
Can we
Monday.
24th?
Okay,
yeah.
I'll stand aside on Monday. I can do it.
Okay. Then I one more time. Is there any objection to Monday the 24th of February for the next meeting? Okay. Hearing none, that's what it is, and I'll schedule it for such. see. Okay, then it was next was the procedure for...
George.
Yeah.
This is Vanessa. You have a quorum. I think somebody else came in, so you won't lose a quorum if I leave. I apologize. I don't feel well, so I'm going to hang up. I apologize.
Look,
Vanessa,
thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, is there actually anybody on the call that doesn't know what the procedure is for filling the committee meetings, for filling the committees? Would anyone like to have it gone over? Okay. So the PNB members to the committee are appointed should be appointed at the January meeting, but anyway, shortly thereafter, if not, as I said earlier. The bylaws say you can have you have to have at least one member from each station, one PNB member from each station appointed to each committee. The motion that Lydia was talking about said you can have up to two, and in fact, in practice, that's what happened in the a year past, and that was changed in the last year. There was only one. There are some reasons for it, but we don't need to go into that here. That's how the PNB members get on the committee. And then the LSPs are supposed to appoint two members from the LSP to each of the standing committees. I'm not quite sure what the status of the programming committee is now, but that was one of them. The governance committee is certainly one, and the the other standing committees...
Election and finance is defined in the bylaws, so that's restricted.
Right.
No, but someone, again, I'm not where my bylaws are right now.
In any case, there are some standing committees in the bylaw, and that's how they're filled. Any questions?
This is Mel Bernstein.
Yeah.
I would just like to ask Lydia why the motion.
Why which motion? The one that's farther on the agenda. This one was just on so that everybody is remembers to go back to their LSPs and make sure that the elections to the PNB committee on the LSPs are carried out in a timely fashion. If you're talking about the motion to have more than one director on each PNB committee?
Yes, I'm sorry if I'm pretty
sure. No, that's right. I think I don't know if that's the next agenda item, is it, George? Or?
No, it's at the bottom. We can discuss it then if you want. But the reason was that the majority on the board, if it votes as a faction, can basically prevent the faction, which is a minority, from having any member of the PNB on any of the committees, because the PNB as a whole votes on who's going to be on the committee. So that was the reason for it.
George, this is Bob.
Bob, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, one thing that always causes confusion with the elections at the, and I think it's more precise to call them elections rather than appointments by the LSB, because they have to practice single transferable voting. But one thing that always causes confusion is the lack of a clear roster of which committees are currently existing. And if you want, I could work with you to come up with that current list for the for this year's PNB, based on they did repeal the bylaws requirement for a programming committee and for a technology committee. That happened about a year and a half ago. So those are no longer committees that have to have elections. But anyway, I think I can help you pull together the most current.
I'd appreciate that.
And then maybe you could send out a memo to the chair of all five LSBs to just tell them, okay, here's the current list to which you should elect people.
There was something with the PNB, with the programming committee after that, though. The bylaws passed, but then it was basically reinstated.
Yeah. I think that what this is, Lydia. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Lydia. What actually happened?
As I recall, that we did reinstate it. And so I don't know if it's regarded as a standing committee, but I think it exists at the moment. Are you on it, George?
No, actually, I'm not. I don't think it met last year.
Oh, okay. Well, then maybe it can go away. Okay. now I can pick it up.
but I think you're correct. I think it was reinstated in some form. And, Bob, if you could figure out what happened, that would be very useful.
Well, that's the one that I can't figure out. I know about the bylaws changes, and I know about the other committees, but I don't know. I mean,
I'll see if I can figure out what actually happened with the programming committee.
I'll look it up as well.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay.
George?
Okay. Anything else about...
John to the queue.
I'm sorry? Who's that?
John Wenger into the queue, please.
There's no queue yet, John. What did you want to say?
Okay, I just want to speak. I think what I remember happening is, so there were a bunch of committees that were just not doing very well, but I don't think they weren't totally abolished. They were transmuted into task forces for the most part. I don't remember any of them just being ended. I remember people saying, well, if they won't function as committees, let's at least turn them into task forces so they can meet more easily. I think
that's correct. That was one of the arguments used. In fact, the programming committee, although it missed one or two meetings, basically was meeting regularly, so it didn't fall into that category of there's not enough interest to be able to make quorum, and so why don't we make it a task force? Nevertheless, it was canceled. We'll look into it and figure out what exactly happened with that particular committee. But you're right. The other one, the technology committee, was made a task force.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else about that? Okay. The next item on the agenda is Lydia's motion on. Lydia, are you at a place where you can read it?
Which one are we talking about? The two?
The ability of the offices to put things on the agenda within 48 hours.
Oh, that. No, let's postpone that.
you don't want to talk about that? Okay.
No, I think that's not as pressing as some of these other issues.
Okay. The next item then was Bob's. Bob's, it was to establish some norms for what should be reported out from executive sessions. Do you have a written motion?
I do, and I just sent it around at about 8:30 to the committee members, but could I kind of introduce the subject before we get into the actual motion?
Oh, absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I am far from the only member of an LSB, not to mention many members at different stations, who've been troubled by the growing trend that we observe, mainly by the PNB, but sometimes by some of its committees, some of its task forces, and to a lesser extent by some of the LSBs and their committees, to hold closed sessions, and in the case of the PNB itself, sometimes for many, many hours repeatedly, such as the most recent in-person meeting, which the public that attended, you know, barely got, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 hours out of a four-day weekend, a four-day set of meetings in which to observe the board in open session. And the bylaws, of course, has exemptions from the open meetings requirements that there are definitely legitimate reasons at times in which and they're spelled out in detail in the bylaws. Certainly if there's a personnel matter about hiring or firing someone, or you know, some disciplinary issue, if there is a specific business contract that involves, you know, different bids as to this amount versus that amount, and then anything concerning litigation strategy. Those, I think, in almost every case would be a legitimate reason to close a meeting. But then there are many other cases, some of which even relate to some of those same topics. For instance, personnel policies that apply to everyone regardless of who they are, or whether to create a position or abolish a position, which is not about the person currently holding the position, but it's about a budgetary decision about whether that position is absolutely vital given the financial situation of Pacifica, et cetera. Those are not appropriate matters to be done in executive session, but yet just basically what to many people it seems to be more, it's kind of a slipping and sliding into a consideration of, well, that might be awkward or embarrassing or difficult to discuss publicly. And I'm sorry, but that is not the bylaws criterion. And even more seriously is that the language in the bylaws is very closely drawn from the Corporation for Public Broadcast regulations for grantee stations, which all the Pacifica stations are. And as a matter of fact, based on complaints from listeners, there has been a finding by the CPB that Pacifica has violated open meetings requirements. Let me be more precise. There's been a finding about the lack of proper notice for public meetings, and there's been an expression of concern by the ombudsman or ombudsperson about the possibility that open meeting that executive sessions are being misused. And I would just cite one of several examples, obviously, for those of us who are not
but Bob, there's two different things here. One is whether you got into executive session legitimately, and the other is what do you report out? I thought you were going to talk about the norms for reporting out.
It's both.
Okay, good.
Now, obviously, since I'm not a member of the PNB, and even if I were, I couldn't talk about what I'm about to say. Those of us who are not on the PNB are not in a position to say what exactly is going on in those many hours of meetings and whether they're legitimately within the exemptions or not. But we can cite one recent example, which I would submit seemed like a clear violation of the bylaws rule on open meetings, which is when there was discussion or when there was an agenda setting for a particular PNB meeting sometime last fall, and the question somebody raised was, well, let's discuss a proposal to have a request for proposals for leasing WBAI. And this would be a request for proposals is a public document. It would be, and in fact it ultimately was, published on the Pacifica website. So this is not a confidential document. It's a public document. And it lays out the parameters of what Pacifica would be looking for in an entity that would want to lease the station. And amazingly to me, somebody said, this is not appropriate for public session. I move that it be transferred to executive session. And unfortunately, the majority voted for that. To me, that was really an abuse, because this is not only a matter that there is no confidential aspect to, but it's one of the most important matters that the PNB has taken up in years. And to not have any public discussion about why would provision X be included in the requirements for bidders or entities that want to submit a proposal, or why would it be not included? How do we word what we're looking for on this issue, or how do we word that issue? Those are all vital public conversations, and all we ended up getting was a report out after the fact that simply said, we adopted a request for proposals, it'll be published on next date, and here's the text of it. You know, but none of the what went into coming up with that text. So I just cite that as the one example that the public was made aware of. There, I think, have been some others where different members have said, I propose so-and-so on the public agenda, and somebody said, no, we can't do that in public, and yet there was never any clear showing of why it couldn't be done in public, because it was a policy matter, not a specific about you know, an individual employee, et cetera. So that's my general introduction to the topic, and then I can get into the motion, but I thought it might be fruitful to have a conversation about the problem before we get into specific solutions.
Mal for Zach.
Okay, Mal, go ahead.
From my vantage point as a member of my LSB, but not a member of Pacifica, I have been outraged at the number and amount of public sessions that the PNB has not had. It spends so much time in executive session that those of us not on the PNB really have no clue as to what is happening, and I strongly support Bob's motion.
Anyone else want to speak to it?
Yeah, Lawrence Sack.
Lawrence, go ahead.
Well, Bob is absolutely correct on the amount of executive sessions. Like, I went to Houston. I believe you were there too, right, Bob?
Yeah.
And I think in total it might have been 2 hours of public session that happened, and I could be on the cutting edge or overstating it. Something needs to be done. Something practical needs to be done in regards to how many executive sessions are held, and also the ones are reporting out as well. I like to know that because I'm going to be sitting on the PNB this year, and you know, I like to definitely have some direction on this and some information as to how to be productive in a discussion in regards to this.
This is Lydia.
Yeah, Lydia.
Okay, so I agree with the motion. I think it has been excessive. I am on the PNB, and I have been in sessions where the majority, including myself, have voted but lost to keep a certain discussion, in particular with the LMAs, in public session. Then the issue that is on the table that has to be discussed in executive session, you get in there, and there was nothing executive session specific about it. And it could easily have been discussed in open session. So that's one. In terms of the Houston meeting, I think all of those sessions that we dealt with in executive session were justified. However, some of that we knew would eat up most of that meeting time. And what I think is unfair is to put out on the agenda, which we didn't have an agenda actually for that meeting, should have, that tells the membership that, in fact, we're only going to come out for public comment, or the agenda will be limited to, you know, X, Y, and Z. We pretty much knew we were going to have to spend a great deal of time in executive session. That was absolutely legitimate, but what's not legitimate is not letting the membership know that that's the case and having them show up, and we're still in executive session forever. So that's, you know, another aspect of it. But by and large, things like the LMA generically, a generic discussion, also just fear that someone might speak out, is not a legitimate reason to go into executive session. Also, I think some of this has to do with not having adequate board training as well. Executive sessions does not mean you could just let your hair down and start swinging and saying whatever you want, whether an executive session where you can be quoted later in a lawsuit or whatever, or a public session, you should be conducting yourself as a responsible director. So anyway, that I will support the motion.
John, into the queue.
Go ahead, John.
Well, two things. Number one, I generally support it, although we've not yet gotten into the particulars. So I think that rather than just saying we support a solution to the problem, we should move to the discussion of the particular motion. So that's point one. And point two, is something that Lydia Lawrence and I were talking about in the KPFK Governance Committee, namely, why the heck, or maybe why the hell, isn't there a PNB, let's call it Agenda Formation Committee, because people have told me, I'm not on the PNB, but from what I understand, it sometimes takes more than 5 or 10 minutes to approve the agenda on the PNB. Is that rumor, is that horrible, vicious rumor, which sounds patently false, really true? I think it is. And so what we do at KPFK is we have an agenda, we have a governance committee, and we set the agenda for the next meeting. So we always have a draft agenda coming from our local governance committee to our local LSV, and it doesn't take very long for us to approve the agenda. Now, if that little process improvement would help the PNB, then we should suggest it, and I wish that I had suggested that earlier when we had a chance, but I was just sort of coming up to speed as to what the problems was for tonight's agenda. But with regard to process improvement, certainly having clear guidelines for what is executive session and how to stay out of executive session when you don't need to go into it, that's a useful thing, and I support any effort to do that. But secondly, let's consider or suggest, because PNB time is fairly valuable, let's get them a governance or agenda setting committee so they can save the time, just as we do at KPFK. I'm done.
Okay. Anyone else want to speak to this?
I do.
Lawrence Stack.
I'm sorry, who's that?
Lawrence Stack.
Lawrence? Okay.
Jane.
And who was the other person?
Jane.
Jane. Okay, Lawrence, then Jane.
And then Bob again.
Okay.
Okay, I completely support John's idea of if it's not this committee that could to help set the agenda for the PNB, that a committee be, that out of this committee, formulate or either as a task force or a committee that could, because the agenda, first of all, is a template from many years ago. It's a terrible looking document. I think it's completely unprofessional. And it just, you know, if somebody goes on the Pacifica.org website and looks at the agenda, it just looks like an attendance sheet. There's really no content to it. So I definitely would support John and at some point putting this on the agenda. It might be too late to put it on there tonight, but and it kind of could maybe be adding to Bob's motion, because it could possibly assist in curbing all of these executive unnecessary executive sessions.
Jane, you're next.
Yeah, I support what the previous speaker just said, as well as just about everyone else. I read the motion regarding the executive session and guidelines as to define when it should and when it shouldn't, and I think the language is good. So I support the motion that was sent around today, and then the separate issue of having a committee work on an agenda and propose it to the PNB or whatever that process is, which would make it more expedient and probably objective, would also be good. I don't know if the two are tied. They don't necessarily have to be. They're intertwined, but they don't have to be treated in the same document. That's all.
Bob, I think it's about time. You have the floor, and I'd suggest you give us a reading of the motion.
Okay, sure. But before I do, I just wanted to make two more points. One is that I just want to remind people who've been around and for the first time those who are newer that the issue of openness of board meetings was one of the major battles that led to the kind of larger war over control of Pacifica in the late 90s and early 2000s that led to the lawsuits and all the different kinds of protests and struggles that concluded with the legal settlement that required new bylaws, and one of the signature points of those bylaws was open meetings. So the language in there, you know, seems to be strong superficially, but as we've seen, you know, the successive boards have found ways around it while they pretend to be technically complying. So I just think it's a goal, you know, kind of an aspiration that we need to constantly keep in mind, and all of us individually have to hold our PNB, and when it happens at the LSB, our larger LSB group, accountable to. Because ultimately, it's not about writing a particular motion. It's about being active on a case-by-case basis. The second thing, which is related to that, which I'm stumped by, and maybe someone here has a more smarter idea about how to handle this, is that this motion is largely procedural, and I think it'll help somewhat, but it won't really cure problems like the one I said before about the request for proposals that was put in, executive session when it shouldn't have been, and other issues about, for instance, about layoffs or prospective layoffs or possibility of reducing staff positions, insisting that has to be a confidential matter when it's a policy matter. So maybe we can formulate another motion later about giving guidance to boards and committees that matters that are policy, rather than individual to one person, need to be aired in public. So with that said, I'll now read the motion, and I apologize, it's rather long, but I think it's necessary.
Well, do you feel the need to read the whereases?
Well, it's up to the committee. I mean, I know there may be people on the stream, but it's whatever you think is best.
I think it best just the motion itself.
Okay. All right, so... it basically cites bylaws language in the whereas clauses, and also notes, let me quickly summarize one clause, is that LSBs have a responsibility for stewardship that requires more detailed knowledge of the station than just the membership at large. So based on that, be resolved that the Pacifica National Board determines that, and then there's five points. A, members of the PNB, LSBs, and all PNB and LSB committees and task forces shall make all reasonable efforts not to engage in discussions or take actions during the closed parts of meetings that do not fall under the bylaws mandated exceptions to the open meetings requirement. B, chairs of the PNB, LSBs, and all PNB and LSB committees and task forces shall immediately entertain and rule on, subject to an appeal, any objection by a member of the body stating that a matter under discussion or an action under consideration violates the bylaws open meetings requirement. C, for the PNB, LSBs, any PNB or LSB committees and task forces, all notices of upcoming closed meetings or portions of meetings to be closed shall include specific statements of the topics to be discussed, including the maximal allowable information that will not compromise the foundation's business interests or violate any legal requirements. And D, all public reports following such closed meetings or parts of meetings shall include specific statements of the topics discussed and any decisions made, including the maximal allowable information that will not compromise the foundation's business interests or violate any legal requirements. E, in the bylaws sentence requiring public reporting, quote, within a reasonable period after the closed meeting, quote, unquote, the term, quote, reasonable period, unquote, shall be defined as, quote, within 2 business days. And then item 2 is whenever PNB executive session discussions are held about one of the 5 Pacifica stations, in addition to the above referenced public report out, the PNB shall approve a confidential report to that local station board containing at least the agenda item and the related original motions and the final motion and vote. So that's the motion. And can I just say one last important thing? I think that we have to encourage our boards to not think mechanically or kind of, in extreme defensive mode about this question of what's public and what's not. For instance, on the question of leasing WBAI, or if it came up for any station, there are now, we've been told by the interim executive director, there are 10 entities that have submitted proposals. But yet, when she came to our LSB meeting, we asked her, well, can you name them? And she not only wouldn't name them in public, she wouldn't name them in private either. But my contention would be not only, of course, should the LSB have that in private, but there's no reason from a business standpoint or competition or whatever the justification might be that the names of those entities shouldn't be made public. That has tremendous consequences for the station as to who ultimately, if anyone is to take over the lease or to get a lease, who that is and what their track record is, what their reputation, their history. And there's no business interest compromised by revealing the name. So that's an example, but I see those examples come up from time to time where everyone kind of gets into extreme defensive mode. Oh, no, we couldn't possibly mention that. And I think it does a tremendous disservice to our membership, and it's abdication of our responsibility.
Hear, hear.
Anyone want to speak to the motion?
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead, Lydia.
I'm sorry. So the part you're saying, if there's a motion is announced out of executive session, that the vote count is also announced, right?
That's actually not in my motion, but it's a good idea. If we could amend it to have.
Oh, then I'd like to amend it to include that.
Okay, maybe, George, you can entertain other discussion. I'll work on some wording, and then I'll read it to
Thank
people.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else want to speak? I guess I have a question about the requiring public reporting within a reasonable period after a closed meeting. The term reasonable period shall be defined within 2 business days. There's no sort of official vehicle to make a report back when you're not having a meeting. So the practice when I was chair was to report back at the next meeting. In the chair's report, what happened in the executive session, the previous one. If we're going to actually do this, it means doing something like posting it on the web, which is okay, I suppose. Somehow someone has to be responsible for doing that, and it isn't clear who.
This is Lydia.
Yeah.
When I was chair of the PMB Personnel Committee, then what we would do is we would agree before we adjourned the executive session what we were going to report out. And so after we finished the executive session, we would go on the public stream again and make the report out. At the LSB, we report out at the next meeting. So I think that maybe we can leave that for our next meeting and add to that. But I do know that we have passed, which is what we're practicing right now, is that we do not adjourn an executive session without agreeing to what we're going to report out, which can also take up quite a good deal of time. But there you go. Okay.
That's been the practice. I'm not sure quite what the requirement is, where it comes from, but that's been the practice to decide what you're going to report out. It seems to me that I would suggest making it at the next public meeting, which is definite. It probably wouldn't be within 2 weeks. Or if you want to leave it 2 business days, to put in some mechanism for how that's done. Where is the notice put, or who has to put the notice, or does the chair of the PMB have to put a notice on the website, something to make it to sort of put it into effect if you want to do it that way. Anyone else want to speak to this?
John as well.
Somebody else spoke first. Who was that?
Pat.
PAC.
Pat spoke first. John spoke second.
Say the first name again. I didn't catch it.
Pat.
Pat. Pat. Oh, okay. Pat.
Patricia.
Pat and then John. Go ahead.
I just wonder, I think it's important that that the report out is comes out quicker because, it's you know, people really want to know. And why, if the secretary is doing the minutes, why can't it be the secretary? It's very similar to being a part of the minutes.
George, this is Bob. I actually have the bylaws language that could answer your question.
Okay, go ahead. Well, John is next, and then Bob.
Oh, sure.
I basically agree with Pat. It ought to be quick, and if the secretary can do it, there's lots of ways to get it out quickly. The secretary could send it out to the LSV chairs saying forward it to your boards. That gives you a single distribution. The second thing is that the secretary can send them out to the station webmasters. It just takes five emails and saying put this stuff on your web under announcements. Under, you know, PNB business. But let's just make it happen quickly. It needs to be open and quick. I'm done.
Okay. Yeah, what the section currently reads that within a reasonable period after the closed meeting, the Foundation Secretary shall post on the Foundation's website a general statement of the basis on which all or part of said meeting was closed. Now, so that takes care of PNB meetings, which let me see, I'm checking. Yeah, it says all meetings of the Board of Directors and its committees. So that would cover everything, including theoretically LSB meetings, because technically they are committees of the PNB. I'm just checking the section on LSB meetings to see if they have a separate provision as to who should post it. But so the answer to George's very legitimate question is it's seems to be already covered by requiring that the secretary post it on the Pacifica website.
Okay.
John, clarification. It strikes me that loading up the responsibility to post LSB closed sessions on the PNB website by the PNB secretary places an unreasonable burden on the PNB secretary. It seems to me that the secretary of whatever board is having the executive session should post it to the relevant website. So KPFK has an executive session, then the KPFK secretary should either post it or send it
right.
to the webmaster
actually,
for posting.
I'm sorry to interrupt
and similarly for all the other stations.
Sorry, that's actually, I just found it in the language. That is already in the bylaws. I'll read it.
Okay, that's reasonable.
In the section on, I'm sorry, I didn't think to check this before the meeting, but under the Article 7, Local Station Board, Section 6, Meetings, subsection C, about members and public participation, it says, in the event that all or a portion of a meeting is closed, the LSB shall indicate in its notice of said meeting that the meeting or a part of it shall be closed. In addition, within a reasonable period after the closed meeting, the LSB secretary shall post on the station's website a general statement of the basis on which all or part of said meeting was closed. So that's already covered, but I think it would be helpful so we don't force people to run around looking for all these bylaw sections if I referred to that language in our new motion. So it's all in one place. So I can work on that. While I'm working on that wording, can I ask Lydia, because you brought up the question of reporting out votes on motions, did you intend that to mean the numerical vote out only or the actual roll call of who voted which way?
Numerical, because I think that I would favor how you vote. I would be absolutely fine with that. But I think that would probably not get us the vote to report out the motion and or, you know, close it down even more. So I don't know that that'll pass the PNB.
Well, John to the queue.
John, go ahead.
But at minimum, the vote count.
Well, I support it, the minimum, certainly, but I even more support having the roll call. I'd like to have accountability. So if people want to speak against accountability, I'd like to hear their arguments. But for what possible reason would we not want to have full accountability and have the roll call?
I'm good with that. And then if they want to pull back, they can always amend it to just see the numbers. So it's always better to go for more. So I'm good.
Good. Okay, I'm too.
Jane on the stack.
I'm sorry, who is that?
Jane.
Jane, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree that a roll call requirement would be ideal. And if there is opposition to it, I guess the process I'm trying to pick this up is that we put this forward as a subcommittee of the PNB, and then the PNB accepts it or not, or modifies it, or is that the way it goes? And so if it's adopted, or if it's opposed, if we could have people state on the record the reasons for their opposition as to having a roll call. That's all.
Good idea.
Let's see. Anybody else want to speak to this?
Pat.
Pat, go ahead.
If I were on the PNB and there was a vote in closed session, I would be opposed to having my vote announced in the report back. I think it should be the numerical vote, but not the individual votes. And I would hate to vote against this motion, which I'm so strongly in favor of, just because of this one little thing.
Well, it is
now
in the
speak.
Yeah, Lawrence. Back. Lawrence, go ahead.
I understand Ms. Logan's concern, but I also would like to echo what Dr. Wenger said in regards to accountability. There has to be some accountability. And, you know, I wouldn't mind going on record you know, having my name called on a roll call vote for this motion.
This is Lydia.
Yeah, Lydia.
So the other reason is because one of the reasons that I have been given by listener members who don't vote in our LSV elections is because they can't tell the difference between the candidates, including the incumbent. And because so much of what distinguishes us, at least at the PNB level, happens in closed session, that it is really something that impedes a truly democratic process, because then in open session they can deny anything, but in closed session, you know, that's where a lot of really heavy-duty things happen. I can't think of one single vote where I would not be able to explain why I voted a certain way. And many of the votes, especially at the PNB level, are really difficult ones. But there has to be a rationale to it. We don't want people on the PNB or even the LSB that vote strictly by faction or strictly by, you know, as robots or whatever, or however your friend votes or whatever. You need to be able to pay attention to everything that you read, listen to, and make an informed decision as a director. Otherwise, we end up diluting the quality of LSV member and director that we have. So I do favor it. But again, if it gets watered down at the PNP level, I would vote for it just to keep the rest of it. But I will be voting in favor of this motion as is. Thanks. As amended.
Can I speak on it?
Well, let me say that it hasn't been formally amended yet. So if someone would like to move the amendment, do so.
I'd like to move it. John.
This is Bob. I have wording.
Okay, Bob. I take it was wording includes an amendment?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Okay, so for those of you who have my email in front of you, if you turn to Section 1D for dog, it would start with the current language. All public reports following such closed meetings or parts of meetings shall include specific statements of the topics discussed and any decisions made, including, and then add the new phrase, the roll call and vote counts on each motion to be reported out and then it resumes the existing language, which is the maximal allowable information that will not compromise the foundation's business interests or violate any legal requirements.
Friendly amendment.
I'd
like to make a friendly amendment.
But if you want to make a second amendment, you can go ahead and do so.
Well, let me just see if we can pass this more simply with a friendly amendment. The roll call, I think what Bob means is the roll call vote and not the roll call. So when someone says Bob Letterer and he says here. Any amendment.
Yep.
I mean, it's an informal, quick. Didn't you really mean?
We'll allow it. It's fine. So the practice has been often that actions are taken and motions are passed or not. But that the motion itself is felt to be something that should be kept confidential, and all that comes out is a sort of statement about what the issue considered was. I'm not sure whether it's written in such a way that it seems to be written in such a way that even if you felt that it was the case. That it shouldn't be the case, that you should not actually report out the motions, that as it's been rephrased, because it would compromise the foundation's business interests, that it seems to me that it doesn't allow for that possibility. It seems to say that all the motions have to be passed out, whether or not you think they would, in fact, just merely saying what you were voting on. Would compromise the interests of the foundation. So I think I would like to see it somehow reworked so that voting out is made conditional on not doing that. I mean, putting out the vote and the specifics of the motion may not be advisable. And there have been many instances. Why are we talking about that? Who is that? Hello?
Who's that?